Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. So maybe you think you're too old to exercise. You think you missed the boat. You think it's too late. You're probably maybe in a little bit of pain, and you just think it's too late. You're too old. And old may be late 40s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And this show is going to blow you away. And this show is a little different from my other shows. In what way? I'm glad you asked. Generally speaking, when I do a show and have a topic, I use somewhere from 3 to 6 studies to support the topic. Well, today, 25 different studies to back up what I'm going to tell you. And as all my shows are, it's great news. It's not good news. It's great news. So if you are 60, 70, 80, or you're late 40s and feel like you're 70 or 80, and you say, it doesn't matter, Tom, I'm too far gone. I'm too old, or I didn't do it. I let myself go, and I can't benefit. You are so wrong. I'm not just going to say it. I'm going to give you 25 different studies on why you are wrong. And you being wrong is a great thing. Because these studies are going to blow you away. Many of them are going to surprise you. Some are going to go, okay, I get it. Thought that might be the case and I heard that. But some are going to really surprise you. And it is also a little different show in that because I'm doing 25, I'm not going to make this a 2-hour show. It's going to be the same length as most of my shows. So I'm not even going to go in depth. I'm going to give you the study and I'm going to give you the takeaway. And again, usually I give you the design of the study and I talk about it deeper. Not today, because today I want you to listen to this and walk away thinking, wow, that's a lot of good news. That's a lot of good news. There's a lot going on there. Because there is, and we don't get enough of that. There's too much negative when it comes to exercise and how much you should do. And I just did the show on too much exercise. You got to be kidding me. Not a problem. And like all I talk about and my term excessive moderation, if you are in that group, you're in the older group and you think you need to do a lot, don't have to. And I'm going to give you about eight different categories of benefits that you can and will receive from exercising at an older age. So it is never too late. That cliche could not be more true when it comes to this topic. And you don't have to do a lot, but here, I'm going to skip ahead a tiny bit. One of the surprising things is you can do some pretty intense exercise. I'm going to give you some studies. You have to progress. You have to, build up your base. But just because you're 70 or 80 or 90 doesn't mean you can't do high intensity exercise. I'm jumping ahead. But I'm so excited. And again, I decided to do that. This could be 8 shows. And it would be easier for me to spread it out. But I really want this to feel like you're just overwhelmed with studies. You go, wow, this is like such good news. And it is. All right. Quick break. And when we come back, we're jumping right in. 25 studies that show you are never too old to reap the rewards, the major rewards, 8 different categories of rewards from exercise. We'll be right back. I have to say, back when I was training clients, one of my favorite things were the older population when they would come in. Having that 70, 80-year-old client, of which I had many, because I knew the incredible benefits they could get in a short amount of time. So much of exercise is counterintuitive. It's the opposite of what you're led to believe. Right? What you're told you should do by the not-so expert experts is so often, you know, it's the opposite. And when it comes to the older population, of which I'm throwing myself in the group, as I say, it's bizarre for me. I think of myself as 25 or 30. You can do so much and you can benefit so much. Let's just get right to it. Here's the 8 categories. I broke it down. I'm just going to give it to you right away, and then we're going to go full force into the studies, one after the other, boom, boom, boom. So here's 8 categories of benefits I'm going to talk about with the studies. So when you exercise at an older age, one of the top benefits is minimizing, reducing, stopping sarcopenia. I've talked about it in other shows. Sarcopenia is just a fancy term for losing muscle. As we get older, we lose muscle. Generally speaking, 35, somewhere around there, different percentages per year. But as you get older, you lose muscle. But you don't have to. And it is a huge factor in so many negative consequences of aging. But you can stop it through strength training, through a healthy diet, eating enough protein, and your metabolism therefore doesn't slow down, and you don't lose functional capacity that I'm going to talk about as well. So minimizing muscle loss, enormous benefit. And you go, well, okay, Tom, yeah, we've heard that. I know that. But at 90, I can't do that. I'm not going to get that benefit. You're wrong, and I will give you the study. Number 2, strength gains. You go, I'm too old. Like at 60, I can't improve my strength. Wrong again. Incredible strength gains can be made by the older population in short amounts of time. Number 3, tied into both of the first 2, functional capacity, quality of life. This is why I call strength training in particular the fountain of youth, and have a whole chapter called The Fountain of Youth on strength training in my new book, The Micro Workout Plan. It is that important. Functional capacity. You don't have to lose that as you age, and you can gain it back, improve it at any age. So important. Number 4, osteoarthritis. So many people say, and I've had these clients, dozens, hundreds, camps and the classes I taught over the years, osteoarthritis, generally speaking, most people are going to get it as you age, and there's pain associated with it. But I'm going to give you a handful of studies that show even if, and especially if you have osteoarthritis, you can improve it significantly through exercise. Again, counterintuitive. And that's one of the most horrific parts about aging and exercise is that people believe, you know, once you start having pain, you do less and less. The muscles get weaker and weaker. The body gets weaker and weaker, and you get more and greater amounts of pain. And you think you can't do more. You just have to be smart about how you do it, and you have to progress, but you can do so much. I'm going to give you those studies. And tied into that, number 5 is pain. Obviously, osteoarthritis has a pain associated with it, but other, you know, back pain, shoulder pain, so much as we get older, you have the pain. You go, I can't do that. I can't do that because I have pain. And the answer to that is you can do something else to improve that pain and to, in many cases, get rid of it, to fix it, to fix those weak links, as I call them. So pain is not inevitable. And even at older ages, you can significantly reduce and get rid of those painful areas through strength training and through exercise. All right, now we get exciting, 3 more, and alluded to this one, your metabolism. So as you get older, people say, you know what, Tom, I'm eating the same and I'm gaining weight. Well, it's tied into number 1, sarcopenia. So this is where you go, oh, geez, starts to make sense. You go, I'm losing muscle. Muscle is metabolically active. The more muscle you have, the more calories you burn all day long, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So if we can preserve that muscle or even add some, later in life, the weight gain is going to slow down. That's super important. And you can do that at the older ages. Two more, super important. Number seven, improve sleep. I'm going to give you, two studies on how sleep is improved in, the older populations as well. And finally, and so important, and I will do many other shows on this and have touched on it in other shows as well already, the brain. It's not just about the body. As I say this now, I feel like, I need to do a show right away about it. But I'm going to give you the benefit cognitively. So cognitive decline. You got physical decline and cognitive as we get older. Both can be incredibly, slowed down, prevented, not only if you exercise at a young age, but when you do this at 70, you can make incredible improvements. So again, amazing, great news. Amazing, great news. Got to get to it. So those are the categories. Wanted to throw those out there to get you excited. And now we're just going to fill in the gaps with the studies. All right, right to it. Boom, boom, boom. 25 studies. I'm going to give you the title and I'm going to give you the takeaway. Title and takeaway. Super simple. All right, first one. This was in Clinical Interventions in Aging. The title of the study, Optimal Management of Sarcopenia. So right there, number one category I talked about. And here's the conclusion. To date, pharmacological interventions have shown limited efficacy in counteracting the effects of sarcopenia. In other words, taking prescription drugs doesn't work. It doesn't work super well. How's that for simplifying? Resistance training remains the most effective intervention for sarcopenia. As our review suggests, all is not lost by this stage, and there is still hope for improvement, even in the frail older person with a combination of measures. How is that for starting us off? How is that for starting us off? All is not lost by this stage, and there's scope and hope for improvement. Okay, let's keep going. Number two, this was the Scandinavian Journal of Medicine and Science and Sports. By the way, the other one was 2010. This is 2010 as well. Title of the study, Role of the Nervous System in Sarcopenia and Muscle Atrophy with Aging, Strength Training as a Countermeasure. Takeaway. Strength training appears to elicit effective countermeasures in elderly individuals, even at a, this is their term, or their wording, not mine, very old age, greater than 80 years. By evoking muscle hypertrophy, along with substantial changes in neuromuscular function, respectively. Notably, the training-induced changes in muscle mass and nervous system function leads to an improved functional capacity during activities of daily living. Amazing. Amazing. Greater than 80 years old, you can build muscle. You can improve the nervous system function and improved functional capacity. What does that mean? A better life during activities of daily living. I want to stay on all these, but I'm going to throw them all out to you. We got to just keep moving ahead. There's so much. The Journal of Rheumatology, 2001, is the journal, and the study is the efficacy of home-based progressive strength training in older adults with knee osteoarthritis, a randomized controlled trial. Okay, takeaway, high-intensity home-based strength training can produce substantial improvements in strength, pain, physical function, and quality of life in patients with knee osteoarthritis. I could spend a half hour on that study alone. There's so much going on there. High intensity. So what? You go, wait a minute. I have knee pain. I can't do anything. You know, those doctors who say, just don't run. Just don't. Of course, you have to be smart and progressive and have a balanced program. But not only can you do something, you can do high intensity and at home. You don't have to go to the gym. And it can improve your strength, your feelings of pain, physical function, and quality of life. Got to keep moving. All right. And that was, did I tell you? Yes, 2001. Okay, this journal, Aging Research Reviews, 2017. Circuit resistance training is an effective means to enhance muscle strength in older and middle-aged adults. A systematic review and meta-analysis. Okay? I'm giving you everything. So the takeaway from this one, circuit resistance training is a valid alternative to conventional resistance training. It's shorter duration and lower intensity relative to traditional resistance training may increase adherence to training in older adults. So I threw that one in because shorter duration, lower intensity. You go, you're contradicting. No, I talk about on the show all the time, it's mixing things up. It's doing what you can do. It's progressing. There is no one way. But circuit resistance training and why this one is important may increase adherence. I'm one of the biggest fans, and most of my early fitness videos and many of, you know, my workouts I do for myself, circuit training. It's just a super efficient way to get your workout in. All right. And so again, this takeaway is you can do it as an alternative to your traditional resistance training, the stuff that's boring for most people. And adherence means circuit resistance training, it's going to be shorter, it's going to be more fun, and you're going to most likely continue to do it in older adults. Super important. All right, German, I believe, journal here. Deutsches Arzneblatt International 2011, the intensity and effects of strength training in the elderly. Okay, takeaway, super simple. Progressive strength training in the elderly is efficient, even with higher intensities, to reduce sarcopenia and to retain motor function. To reduce sarcopenia, to prevent the loss of muscle, and to retain motor function in the elderly. It's never too late. Number six, got to keep moving. Physiology Reports 2015. Here we go. Title, Low Load Resistance Training During Step Reduction Attenuates Declines in Muscle Mass and Strength and Enhances Anabolic Sensitivity in Older Men. It's a mouthful, but the takeaway is very simple. I'll read it and then I'll explain it. The takeaway is low load resistance training can attenuate the deleterious effects of step reduction in aging muscle. So super simple. If you are having problems walking, You're osteoarthritis, all of that kind of stuff. You're not moving as well or as often or as far or as frequently as you used to. Well, by using low load, light weights, you can attenuate the bad effects of not moving as much. And here's step two is many times you will get back to that mobility. But while you can't do as much, you can do what you can do, essentially, and mitigate the bad effects of not moving as much. So strength training to the rescue, right? Super important. All right. Wow, we got a lot. This one, another amazing one. This was in Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise 2018. Title, Associations of Resistance Exercise with Cardiovascular Disease Morbidity and Mortality. It's great news on the short workout front. The takeaway, lifting weights for less than an hour a week may reduce your risk for a heart attack or stroke by 40 to 70%, according to this study, all right? Spending more than an hour in the weight room, they didn't see any additional benefit. And the results show benefits of strength training are independent of running, walking, or other aerobic activity, all right? So again, as you age, you don't have to spend a lot of time. So I threw that one in there on the time front. Okay. And it's independent. So strength training, fountain of youth. And another one to tie into that. This was Clinics in Geriatric Medicine, 2010, strength training in older adults, the benefits for osteoarthritis. Another one to back that up. Strength training significantly improves function in older people with osteoarthritis and pain decreased in people who participated in progressive resistance training. You're older, you're in pain, all is not lost. All is not lost. Number nine, Cochrane Database of Systematic Reviews, 2009, title Progressive Resistance Training for Improving Physical Function in Older Adults. Takeaway. This review provides evidence that resistance training is an effective intervention for improving physical functioning in older people. including improving strength and the performance of some simple and complex activities. You're improving your strength. You're improving your life, both simple and complex activities. All right. You know what? One more, and then we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to bring it all home. This was in Aging Cell 2014. I love this one. All right, here you go. You want a mouthful? Glycolytic fast twitch muscle fiber restoration counters adverse age-related changes in body composition and metabolism. What the heck does that mean? Pretty simple. Here's the takeaway. The loss of lean muscle mass is a significant contributor to the development of age-related metabolic dysfunction. Talked about that, your metabolism, right? Sarcopenia. And that interventions that preserve or restore fast glycolytic muscle may delay the onset of metabolic disease. So again, a mouthful. Basically, it's saying your metabolism, metabolic dysfunction. And so certain type of strength training, fast twitch, muscle fiber restoration can help prevent that. And, you know, slow down the negative effects of that. All right, quick break, final break. When we come back, what are we on? 10. So we got 15 more, but you got to stick around. They get better and better. All right, quick break. More of the incredible benefits of exercise, even in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Different kind of show. I'm throwing so many studies, boom, one after the other. And as I was debating the format of this show, again, I go, I got 25. I could do 4 shows. Why am I wasting them on one? Because I want to do this show. I want to just hammer them. Boom, boom, boom. I want you to be overwhelmed with the great news. This is overwhelming great news. Metabolism, everything. Functioning. Unbelievable. We got to keep moving ahead. All right. Number 11, this was in Arthritis and Rheumatism, 2006. Title, Effects of Strength Training on the Incidence and Progression of Knee Osteoarthritis. Got to keep going to that because so many people, I can't do it because, right? Conclusion, the strength training groups, there are different groups, right? The group in this study that did strength training retained more strength and exhibited less frequent progressive, and they have JSN. What is that? Joint space narrowing, okay? Osteoarthritis over 30 months than the range of motion group. So there was a group that strength trained. There was a group that just did some range of motion work. And the mean age for these people in the study, 69, which means there was older and there was some younger. But the mean age was 69. So the strength training group, again, more strength, and their joint spaces narrowed less. You want those muscles to be as strong as possible around your joints. Moving on. Journal of Gerontology, 2000. The study, Effects of High-Intensity Resistance Training on Untrained Older Men. Strength, Cardiovascular, and Metabolic Responses. This is amazing, okay? Skeletal muscle in older, untrained men will respond with significant strength gains, accompanied by considerable increases in fiber size and capillary density, maximal working capacity, VO2 max, and serum lipid profiles also benefited from high-intensity resistance training. Older men may not only tolerate very high-intensity workloads, but will exhibit intramuscular, cardiovascular, and metabolic changes similar, drumroll please, to younger subjects. Like, I feel like we should, how much good news is in that one paragraph? And in this study, the subject's age range, 60 to 75. They were older, untrained men. So you go, I'm too old and I've never done anything before. You are going to benefit incredibly. I mean, strength gains, muscle fiber size, all of those amazing things. Moving on. Okay, that one alone, we do a whole show just on that one, but there's so much more. Here we go. This was in Gerontology 2005, improved physical performance in older adults undertaking a short-term program of high-velocity resistance training. Takeaway, progressive resistance training that incorporates rapid rate of force development, so that's a quick movement, essentially, may be safely undertaken in healthy older adults and results in significant gains in muscle strength, muscle power, and physical performance. Such improvements could prolong functional independence and improve the quality of life. Now, at the end of the show, I'm going to talk about this because all that I talk about, you know, I'm excessive moderation, but that doesn't mean that if you do your homework and you do your work and you build your base of strength at 60, 70, 80, you can do an Ironman. Most people won't, and you don't have to, but you can if you want to, if you do your work. And that's why I included these studies as well, because I know there's people listening who are super high performers at older ages. You just have to put the work in and be smart. And if there's one term that you're hearing over and over, you hear the term progressive. Most trainers don't progress. Most trainers don't progress. I'm not going to mince words on the show ever. They just don't. They either don't have the knowledge quite often to progress you appropriately, or that's not their thing. They're just going to push you too hard too soon. All right? Amazing. Amazing. All right? Where were we? Here we are. Again, the journals of gerontology, and this study was effect of intense strength training on standing balance, walking speed, and sit-to-stand performance in older adults. Takeaway, the data do reinforce the notion that intense strength training is a safe and effective way to increase muscle strength in this population. Subjects for this study were from 61 to 87. Now, you do not have to do intense strength training, and many of you shouldn't. You go, well, then why are you telling us? Because you can if you really want to. And if you're one of those people who enjoys that, you have to do it safely and progressively. But that's an amazing, that should be surprising to so many people. You go, 87 people, 61 to 87. And I'm not going to get into what is intense, and there's obviously different exercises and different things that are considered intense, but even at these ages, you can do those things. All right, let's go to the metabolism. This is the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, 1994. A little older than most of the studies I will pull, but the study was increased energy requirements and changes in body composition with resistance training in older adults. Wanted to go back to that metabolism thing one more time. The takeaway, resistance training is an effective way to increase your energy requirements, basically meaning you need more calories and can take in more calories, decrease body fat mass, and maintain metabolically active tissue mass in healthy older people, and may be useful as an adjunct to weight control programs for older adults. Let me say, it's not maybe useful, 100%. You actually need it. This study, you know, they're not going to say that. You need your strength training, you need your cardio, and you need your healthy eating. And when you do all of those, it doesn't change your life dramatically. When you try to change just one, like your diet, short-term fix. All right, great news. All right, we're getting there. Diabetes Care 2005. I mean, how many different journals too? This was in Diabetes Care 2005. So for you diabetics, the study, twice weekly progressive resistance training decreases abdominal fat and improves insulin sensitivity in older men with type 2 diabetes. I mean, again, how much good news? Two sessions per week of progressive resistance training without a weight loss diet significantly improves insulin sensitivity and fasting glycemia and decreases abdominal fat in older men with type 2 diabetes. I mean, how many of you out there fit that category? So many. Great news. Two sessions per week. Two sessions. Strength training. All right, we're getting there. Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research, 2006. The effects of strength training on muscle strength characteristics, functional capabilities, and balance in middle-aged and older women. I love this because it's just for the women. And the takeaway, this study indicates that total body heavy resistance training, including explosive dynamic training, may be applied in rehabilitation or preventive exercise protocols in aging women to improve dynamic balance capabilities. Okay, so again, if you're losing that motor function, if your balance, coordination are going, you say it's too late. No. And I know it can be confusing when you hear explosive and that kind of stuff. You don't have to get there. I just want you to have all the information. And most people, you know, my book, The Micro Workout Plan, it's the basics, and they work phenomenally for the vast majority of people. But you're never too old. You're never too old. I can't leave that out. I just can't leave it out. So you're going to hear those type of workouts as well. Okay, where are we? Here we go. Medicine, Science, Sports, Exercise, 2009. This was just the American College of Sports Medicine position, stand, exercise, and physical activity for older adults. So I threw this in there. I'm going to read it. It's one of the longer takeaways, but it's super important. Okay, there is evidence that regular exercise can minimize the physiological effects of an otherwise sedentary lifestyle and increase active life expectancy by limiting the development and progression of chronic disease and disabling conditions. We know that. That's what this show's about, right? That's the prehab part. But here you go. There is also emerging evidence for significant psychological and cognitive benefits accruing from regular exercise participation by older adults. Ideally, exercise prescription for older adults should include aerobic exercise, muscle strengthening exercises, and flexibility. That's the show I did on the five components of fitness. But I included that because it touches on the psychological. You know, there's a lot of people that at their older age, there's depression. And I'll give you a couple more in a second about the psychological. But that's super important. It's not just about from the neck down. It's the neck up as well. All right. Medicine and Science and Sports and Exercise, 2007. The impact of resistance exercise on the cognitive function of the elderly. You go, wait a minute. Whenever we think of exercise, you go, oh, aerobic activity. Super important, right? And cognitive benefits. Beyond incredible. But resistance training, yes. Here's the takeaway. Moderate and high-intensity resistance exercise programs had equally beneficial effects on cognitive functioning. So for those of you people who go, I like the moderate. I'm going to stick with the moderate. The lower intensities, awesome. This study says you don't have to go to higher intensity. If you want to and you do your homework, you can. All right. Where are we? Yes. This was the study, Effects of Resistance Training Exercise on Cognitive Performance in Elderly Individuals with Memory Impairment. Results of a controlled trial. All right, the conclusion in this one, these results indicate that supervised resistance exercises can improve memory performance in sedentary elderly individuals with prior memory compromise, besides increasing muscle strength. Amazing. I'm going to read that one more time. These results indicate that supervised resistance exercise can improve memory performance in sedentary elderly individuals with prior memory compromise, besides increasing muscle strength. You're going to get that. The body and the mind. All right. The Journal of Aging and Physical Activity, 2006, the effects of strength training on memory in older adults. Takeaway. The results suggest that strength training can benefit memory among older adults, especially when using higher resistance levels. We keep going back there. You don't have to, but it's interesting, right? All right. Well, we got three, four more. Journal of Geriatric Physical Therapy, 2018, the effect of exercise on cognition, conditioning, muscle endurance, and balance in older adults with mild cognitive impairment, a randomized controlled trial. Conclusion, the training program improved cognitive function, muscle endurance, aerobic conditioning, and balance in older adults with mild cognitive impairment. So whether you're in pain, whether you've never done anything before, whether you have osteoarthritis, whether you have, you know, some cognitive issues, exercise helps. Exercise helps strength training and aerobic, and you don't have to do a lot, and you don't have to go to the gym. All right. Perceptual and Motor Skills, 1998 is the journal. Comparison of high and moderate intensity of strength training on mood and anxiety in older adults. Wanted to give you more of the psychological. Takeaway, both high and moderate strength training programs produced marked improvements in muscle strength and body composition, compared to the control subjects. As for psychological changes, both training groups significantly improved positive mood, and the moderate intensity group significantly reduced trait anxiety compared to the means of the control group. Also, both training groups showed some decrease in tension and state anxiety after the training period. These findings provide evidence for the effectiveness of anaerobic training to enhance perception of psychological well-being in older women. Mean age, 68. 68. Improvements in muscle strength, body composition, and psychological changes. Positive mood states. All right. Final two, sleep. Let's go there. European Journal of Applied Physiology, the effects of a session of resistance training on sleep patterns in the elderly. A little surprising of one session. And here's the takeaway. A session of resistance training at 60% of one repetition maximum was able to modify the sleep pattern of men aged 65 to 80 years, suggesting that physical exercise has a modest influence on sleep consolidation. May improve your sleep. I find it does. And I can't think of a client that I trained over the years who didn't find that as well, especially at the older ages. Last one, number 25, drum roll, please. Whew, this one's been tough. I'm sweating. The Journal of Physiotherapy, Exercise Training, and this was what? Let me give you a year. 2012. Exercise training improves sleep quality in middle-aged and older adults with sleep problems, a systematic review. Conclusion, participation in an exercise training program has moderately positive effects on sleep quality in middle-aged and older adults. Physical exercise could be an alternative or complementary approach to existing therapies for sleep problems, like pharmaceutical. Okay, deep breath. That was a lot. That was a lot. And I really went back and forth on giving you all 25 in one show. I thought, you know, yes. Yes. And there's so many more. It's not like I have, these are the only 25. I thought 25 is a nice number. My you know, moderate OCD likes, you know, numbers like that. But are you kidding me? These studies, the participants, 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond, it is never too late. It is never too late. Give me someone in their 80s back when I was a trainer versus someone in their 20s. Basically, the 20s, you're not even coming. But it's never too late. So you're sitting there listening to the show and you've got weight to lose and you've got weak links to fix. And maybe there is some cognitive, you're going, my memory, not what it used to be. This is one of the greatest solutions. And you're in total control. How much you move. And you don't have to do a lot. There's so many different options. It doesn't mean going to the gym. It doesn't mean an hour. It means picking up some heavy things, which could be your body. Do body weight exercises, circuit training. But minutes matter. And it's about doing what you can do and believing that you can make change, which is why I threw 25 at you. And I would throw 125 and could if I wanted to. But this show was about just, you know, overdoing the studies. So you can't say, I'm getting rid of that yeah, but. I'm getting rid of your yeah, but I'm too old. No siree, Bob. No siree, Bob. Definitely the first time I've said that on a podcast. But it's true. You're never too old. One of my greatest experiences with a client, she was in her 80s and we did her first race, did a 5K in Central Park. She was in her 80s and we didn't go fast. She did the whole thing with a smile on her face and one of the greatest experiences for me. We did all the strength training to get her there and she was on a bunch of medications and it was just awesome. So wherever you are, whatever your ailments are, whatever your yeah buts are, yeah, but you can make change. And you can make amazing, dramatic change, but you have to believe it, and then you have to do it. Excessive moderation. It's not about doing a lot a little bit. It's doing a little bit a lot. And that's doable. Okay. 25. Now you've got the studies for your friends at your cocktail parties who say you shouldn't be doing those high-intensity intervals. Well, if you're injury-free and you've earned the right, sure you can. And if you're someone who's doing the lower intensity, as most people are, that works really well too. Thank you for listening. Ooh, I need a nap. That was a lot. Hope you enjoyed it. Little different. But this show's about the science and the common sense, putting it all together and figuring out what works for you. For you. I'm Tom Holland. If you have not yet rated the show, please do so and subscribe so you don't miss a podcast. That would be awesome. Thank you so much. If you have already, Tom H. Fit is my Instagram and my Twitter. You can reach out to me there as well as through fitnessdisrupted.com. I have a new book out called The Micro Workout Plan. If you're interested in more about this and some workouts, that's in there as well. And they're 5-minute workouts. You can stack them. And many of you have purchased it already. Thank you so much for that. And finally, if you can leave a review on Amazon, that is always super helpful. And that's my life's work, is to help you live your best life, to look better, feel better, and live longer. And we control three things when it comes to that: how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. And that is amazing. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.